Okay, can you
testing 1 2 3 testing 1 2 3
Joanne Hanna.
Okay, great, sounds good. I'm gonna turn this one on as well as our backup recorder.
Tell me your name again.
Donna Mikesh. N N A M I K E S C H.
We don't have your backup. These are both going, so you can
all right.
Begin the interview
start
whenever
with?
You're ready.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
I guess.
All right, this is Donna Mikesh. Today's date is November 11th. It is November the 3rd, 2011. It is 5 o'clock, and I am conducting an interview with Joanne Hanna for this Quilters Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for the American Quilt. Joanne and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. Joanne, will you tell me about the quilt that you bought today, please?
It's my anniversary quilt. We were married in 1957 in August the 21st, and my husband and I were married for 50 years. And he passed away December the 17th of 2007, so we barely made it.
Oh.
But I had begun this quilt, and I was in the middle of quilting it, and after his death, I didn't want to even look at it. But a couple of months after he passed, I decided it needed to be finished, and it needed to be finished by me. So I finished it.
Good job. Well, I think you've said a little bit of this, but what special meaning does the quilt have for you?
Well, it's my anniversary, and it's just everything that is special about it is that. I guess it's just that,
okay.
More or less.
Why did you choose to bring this quilt to the interview?
Because it said to bring a touchstone piece that was important to me, and it is my latest piece that's most important right now. I may make something later, but this one is it now.
I understand that. What do you think someone viewing your quilt might conclude about you?
That I like to quilt.
Yeah.
I spend too much time quilting.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they'd think.
Well, I think what
everybody they sees it just goes, wow.
Yeah, wow is right. Absolutely. How do you use this quilt?
I hang it on a wall in my den. And my son-in-law, who has a full-time job, but he does woodwork part-time, it's a hobby, like I quilt for a hobby, made me a custom-made wooden wall holder for the quilt with lights up inside recessed and everything. And when it's special occasion or something, we'll turn the lights on. Otherwise, we don't use those.
Oh, that's nice.
It is. It looks really good.
I'll bet. Well, it looks great right here, I tell you.
He's as good a carpenter as I'm a quilter. So it does look good. He finished it really good. And he knew how to make one because I told him that you press the bars together, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Good.
No holes or clips or anything in it.
And what are your plans for this quilt?
I'm going to leave it hanging for a good while, and probably when I pass, then I'll give it to my children. I have two daughters, one of them will get it.
Ah, good. Tell me about your interest in quilt making. For what age did you start quilting, that kind of thing?
Well, I didn't start quilting until I was, I guess, 55. I was a home ec teacher, and I taught in several cities in Texas. My husband was working in the oil business. He was a petroleum engineer. So we were transferred a lot. And I taught school at several different towns. But then I decided when we moved to Houston that I wasn't going to work anymore. So I decided to take up quilting. I had a friend that suggested it would be good because I was doing needlework like crochet, embroidery, knitting, tatting, all that stuff. And I went to Great Expectations, the big quilt store,
yes.
That was owned by, I think, Kay Breslin, when she?
Carrie.
The one,
uh-huh.
Carrie, yeah. And I took a class, and it was taught by Lynn Young. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know her.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She was very good. I took a beginning class from her, and then she had an intermediate class, and I took it. And it was all piecing. Then I went to join the Quilt Bee. I really liked this. And I went to it, and it was over in the west part where I lived in Katy. And a lady named Vicki Mangum was at the bee, and she flipped out this white quilt with all these colorful flowers and butterflies on it. And I said, oh, I'm in the wrong quilt end of the business. I want to do that. And I persuaded her to teach me how to applique. So here I am today.
Good.
Her worst nightmare.
I don't think so. How many hours a week do you quilt?
50 or 60.
Oh, my.
I live alone, and I have a big, nice home, and I don't have any responsibilities. And at 76, I have a lot of free time. So I do what I want to do. I figure at my age, I can do what I want to do when I want to.
I think you're absolutely...
Before that, I was limited, but I'm not anymore. So that's how much I quilt now.
Great. What is your first quilt memory, they ask here?
I guess it was that first little dinky thing I made that you should see now. You didn't know what I was talking about.
any others that you...
One of the other more important quilts to me was a little bitty wall hanging that I made. It was probably about, 18 by 18, from my aunt who lived in Waco in her home, and she was my mother's oldest sister. And it was bright colored background with a white around that. And then it had a big bouquet of bright colored flowers that was colors that came from that background piece that went around the circle. And she was approximately 85, I guess, when I gave it to her. And she said, that is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen. And so she hung it in her den where she sat and watched TV all the time. Then she went out to empty her garbage one day, and the iron gate hit her and knocked her down and broke her thigh or something in here, pelvic bone. Anyway, they had to put her in a nursing home. And she said, I don't want anything for my house but that wall hanging. And she said, hang it right there. I want to be able to see it when I wake up in the morning, and I want it to be the last thing I see at night. And I thought that was a pretty good compliment.
That's a very good, you're absolutely right. Are there any other quilt makers in your family or friends?
I've got a lot of friends that are quilt makers, but my grandmothers on both sides made quilts. But my mother was not a quilter or a seamstress either one.
Just your grandmother's then?
Yes.
How does quilt making impact your family?
I don't really know. I guess it's, if there's anything positive to it, I don't have any grandchildren. I have given a lot of quilts to the girls. I have two daughters. And of course, they're getting this one and a couple of the two in the book and whatever. But I've been donating a lot of my quilts that have won big prizes to different organizations for fundraising.
Oh.
And I've raised thousands of dollars for cancer.
That's wonderful.
They sell... lottery tickets, not lottery, whatever you call it,
raffle tickets.
Yeah. And then at church, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we always have an auction. And each class or people that's in the church congregation can donate something. I always donate a quilt. Last year it made $2,000, the year before $1,500. And then that's used to help our missions programs.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I think it's useful, you know, because I wanted to get rid of them. I had too many, and that gives me an excuse to make more. But I love doing it, so why not, you know?
Exactly.
And I think the people pay that much for one, they're going to take care of it, you
one
know?
One can only hope, yes.
Yeah. So if I paid $2,000 for a quilt, I'd probably take care of it.
I'd take good care of it myself. Tell me if you have ever used quilts to get through a difficult time.
Yeah, when my husband died. I mean, I was working on that one frantically.
On this
up
one?
Up until he died.
Us.
And the day he died, I said, I can't look at that anymore. Because you keep having hope, but you know the cancer is going to get you, you know, once it gets real bad. So, but it kept me busy.
During a bad time.
Yes.
Tell me about any amusing experience that has occurred from your quilt making.
I don't think I've had any.
All right, then we will pass that up.
I can't think of anything I've had that was funny about it. Try to think. I don't.
Okay, well, we'll just move on.
Okay.
What do you find pleasing about quilt making?
Oh, the satisfaction of your time is well spent. When you get through with a day, you can say, look, I have accomplished something. I haven't just sat there and twiddled my thumbs, you know, watching that TV show.
Exactly.
I get up and I have something that's usable. It's either going to hang on the wall, it can cover a baby, it can cover a bed, it can, you know, all the things you use quilts for.
Good. What aspects of quilting do you not enjoy?
Basting. It's a pain.
What art or quilt groups do you belong to?
I belong to the Dallas Quilt Guild right now and no others.
Just
I have Dallas. In the past belonged to several bees and quilt guilds in different towns where I lived, but here when I moved to Cleburne, I didn't join a whole bunch of them.
You're just the Dallas group.
Yes.
Have advances in technology influenced your work?
Well, when I started in 1990, they'd already invented the rotary cutter and the riddle, so in the mat, so I probably wouldn't have stayed with it if they hadn't done that. Advances, I don't know. I've taken a lot of classes from Nancy Pearson and Pat Campbell, and they've shown me how to use the tools that we have, you know, to my advantage. But other than that, I have an embroidery machine, a Janome, but I don't use it a lot.
And so you don't use a computer. I think they're, you know, asking.
Mine's all, I write it, I draw a pattern, you wouldn't believe it, on a piece of notebook paper. I just scribble it out.
What are your favorite techniques and materials?
I don't like to use anything but cotton, and I like batiks to applique with because they don't fray. I don't like them to quilt, but they do pretty colors, and they are easy to work with for applique. I don't use anything but cotton.
Mm-hmm. And applique is your favorite method of working?
By far, yes.
Mm-hmm. Describe your studio or the place where you work.
I have a two-story home, and upstairs they had what they called a game room. Mm-hmm. That's my studio. It has windows all the way across the front of the house, and that's where I sit my sewing machine and all my work areas in there.
And storage for fabric?
I have an armoire that's full of fabric. I have 4 bookcases that are full of fabric. Mm-hmm. I have several rolling chests that are full of fabric. Applique people need a lot of fabric.
Yes. How do you balance your time? I think we've covered that a little bit. You say you quilt 50 to 60.
I quilt whenever I want to. If I have to go or want to go somewhere and do something, like I'm down here, I didn't bring anything to sew. I've quilted all day yesterday or today or tomorrow. I won't either. I might maybe Saturday. I don't know. If I'm still tired, I won't. Mm-hmm. I just kind of go with the flow. Yeah,
do it whenever.
And Sunday I'll be at church and go to meetings and stuff, and I'll probably do maybe an hour's worth that evening or two, you know, when I'm watching the news and TV. Uh-huh. So.
Do you use a design wall? And if so, then we'll just move right on.
No.
And if not, how do you go about designing your quilts?
Well, I draw it off on a sheet of paper. Then I figure out what I'm going to put on it, and then I just start doing it.
And how do you make your patterns? I mean, you've got it drawn out.
I stole from Ellie Sengevich. These, you know, except I changed some of the flowers because I didn't like some of the flowers in some of them, and some of them I didn't change, but I mean, I tweaked a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brown bird, the swirl on there, I liked the way it looked, so I tried to copy that on my own with my own flowers and my own butterflies. Because I pick up flowers and the things that were in the central part of the quilt and put it in the border.
In the border?
Repeat it.
So a lot of the butterflies and the flowers are your own creation. Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you think makes a great quilt?
A balance of color. For one thing, I think when you first look at it, you get an impact. from the first look and the quality of the workmanship. I think that has to be good.
Right. And what makes a quilt artistically powerful? Probably a lot of the same thing. But
yeah, color, I guess, or design. Anyway, I'd been wanting to make a Baltimore album, and I thought, well, this would be a semi-Baltimore, and then I threw in that border. I thought, well, that kind of goes with Baltimore.
Yes, it does. Well, it's beautiful.
But anyway.
What makes a quilt appropriate for a museum or special collection?
I don't know. A commemorative, like the 9/11 quilts or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
And what makes a great quilt maker?
Patience. And lots of it. Good eyes.
Yeah.
Crippled fingers.
And whose works are you drawn to and why?
I like all the applique works. And I like Pat Campbell's stuff. I like, what was her name? I did a bunch of her patterns. Well, I can't remember her name. I like applique stuff.
All right, and which artists have influenced you? And I think you said Campbell
and Vicky. Mm-hmm. And all of those who, and Vicky has one that's out there that has the patterns that's from that lady, Nancy Pearson. Mm. I've had classes with her. I've had with Pat. I've had them with several people. But those are the people that I like. I admire their work.
Okay. And how do you feel about machine quilting versus hand quilting? And what about long arm quilting?
I'm a hand quilter. That's it.
That answers the question.
Sorry.
That's okay. Why is quilt making important to your life?
Well, I guess it gives me something to do. Keeps me out of trouble. I don't know.
That's a good answer. Mm-hmm. In what ways do your quilts reflect your community or region, do you think?
Well, I like the one that's gone to the museum. It had hummingbirds around the outside of it.
And what was the name of that quilt?
Hannah's Garden. And it was it's made in 1935, I think, a picture of an old quilt mm-hmm. with a head on the cover. Mm-hmm. And I drew my own pattern to do that. And she had bluebirds, but I put hummingbirds because at the time I was living in Rockport. And we always have the Rockport Hummingbird Festival in
right.
September. And I thought, this would be neater for me if I put hummingbirds.
Well,
that's how that came about.
Well, good. That does reflect your community or region.
Yeah.
What do you think about the importance of quilts in American life?
I think they're very important. I think they almost, the whatever you call it, the knowledge of quilting actually was almost lost for a while, mm-hmm. and it's been revived. And I'm very pleased to see that because there's nothing that feels as good as a quilt. For my grandmother would make one and get to me, and you just sit there and want to feel it. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with that. But I never had time to work on it and because I was working.
Right.
And I was making Barbie clothes and I'm making little girl dresses. All those things you do when you're a mother and
right.
you're working. And after I quit work, then I had all this free time because I was so used to being busy all the time. And they were in college and they were gone and it was just me and him. I had to do something.
And in what ways, okay, wait a minute. All right. In what ways do you think quilts have special meaning for women's history in America?
I think it's important that they do what they do because it needs to be a record of what we're doing, how we're progressing, or whatever we're doing. You know, it tells, like I made the anniversary quilt. I don't see a man doing that, you know.
Right.
Well, I'm sure there are some that have, but not as many as women. Mm-hmm. And like in the book, I think there's two men represented in the book, and the rest are women. Mm-hmm. So it's very important.
Yeah, I think so too. You're right. Mm-hmm. How do you think quilts can be used?
Everywhere for everything. For picnics, for beds, for wall hangings, for babies, for the, just name it.
And how do you think quilts can be preserved for the future?
I think by that museum that they're opening in LaGrange and other places that have some quilts mm-hmm. are doing a great job, you know. And my personally, I use my quilts. I take and fold them and put them in that tissue, that preservative tissue, whatever it is, and try to save it. And then I put them in those and refold them and store them in a closet.
Mm-hmm. And when you give one question in connection mm-hmm. with that, when you give your quilts to be raffled off, do you give them any instructions?
Yes.
About... Good.
A typewritten page.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Oh, that's nice. Great. And, okay, what has happened to the, well, we've covered this, I think, a lot. What has happened to the quilts that you have made for those, for friends and family?
They still have them. I don't sell them. I give them away. Mm-hmm. If I want you to have one, I'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. I will not sell it to you.
Okay. Great. And what do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilters today?
The high price of cotton. I don't know what the biggest challenge is because I'm not out there with them anymore. I'm at home. I don't take classes anymore. I don't know it all, and I know I don't, but I know enough.
Yeah, you know enough by applique, that's for sure.
I'm just happy where I'm at. So everybody says, oh, there's this new way from the back, and I said, well, go ahead and do it from the back. I still like it the way I do it. So.
And if it works for you, why go on to something else? All right. Is there anything else that you have thought of to say?
I can't think of anything. That was you pretty well covered everything.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to thank Joanne for allowing me to interview her today for the Quilters Save Our Stories Oral History Project. Our interview concluded at 5:22.